Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, as we shift into the travel portion of the show. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex Z. Hey, Alex. Well, another crazy first hour, huh?
Yeah, it's always crazy when Craig comes.
I know. The whole show goes right out the window. Yeah, and we just end up doing a bunch of... But actually, we covered a lot of information in the first hour. We gave a couple sets of tram passes away. One winner was Steve with his French friend. They were playing... What were they playing? Pickleball? Tennis? I don't know.
Squash.
Oh, squash. That's right. And then Irene from Facebook, from CoachellaValley.com, a Facebook follower who's watching us live. She won some tickets as well to the tram. And I do have some more to give away this hour of the show because the tram is now open. They opened on April 1st. So lots going on. Today's show is brought to you in part by B. Alson's Jewelers. Craig and I will be there tomorrow around noon for a video on your business beat. We're going to show you what they have on sale. I mean, their prices are slashed. They're going out of business sale. Actually, it's a retirement sale. They're not going out of business. They're retiring. And their last day, I think, is May 13th, something like that. Lower level in the gardens on El Paseo. Everything is 70% off. And we're going to show you tomorrow all of the beautiful items that are still there. So, but you don't have to wait for that. You can go on over there. B. Alson's Jewelers, lower level at the gardens on El Paseo. Show up and walk, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, graduation, even, I mean, birthdays, you could buy now for Christmas. I mean, there's no time frame on buying anything. So this week, a lot of things going on. I did go to the ACT Travel Club of the Desert meeting, ACT Tours. It was a packed house. Did a bunch of other things. Talked about the trips coming up. We have Mount Rushmore on May 4th through 7th. Sold out. 42 people are going with me as I am hosting that trip. So that is going to be a lot of fun. And cameraman Steve and I are going to be filming parts of the trip and make it a new episode on Traveling with Françoise TV.
You're very busy.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm going to do a little bit different. The first time we did we filmed Nashville, and it was more of what it was like to be on a tour experience. And it did show a lot about Nashville. This time, I'm not going to do what it's like to be on a tour. We're just going to be on the tour and filming Mount Rushmore and the Black Hills and all the things around us on the tour. And then we have one free day to go see whatever it is we want to see. So it's going to be a little bit different format. And then after that, we have Julian. I'm going to be filming an episode of Julian up in the mountains. Have you been to Julian, Alex?
Yes, I have. And yeah, whenever you go, you got to get that apple pie.
I know.
Always.
Yeah. I like, you know what? The apple pie I like the best is the one with all the little crumblies on top.
Yeah.
Crunch.
What is it called?
Yeah.
Dutch.
Is that what it is? Dutch? Okay.
Yeah.
And you know who has a good little apple? And it's not a gigantic. I like the fact when they're not, I don't want a gigantic pie because then I'll end up eating this gigantic, enormous cake, pie, whatever. I will eat most of it. I'll just stand there at the sink and just, yeah, because I have no willpower. But Walmart has a little caramel, it's caramel crunch, I think is what it's called, apple pie. It is so good. Because it has caramel kind of drizzled across the top, has all the little crunchy things, has the apple. Are you hungry yet, everybody? It's a great, and it's not a gigantic pie. It's like a, you can almost do it in four, you know, four sections, and that's good. Mm. You're done. Four kind of big sections, and you're done. Not real big, but
man,
anyway.
That sounds good. Have you ever tried making Dutch apple pie?
I won't bake. If I start baking, I will end up eating. I'll eat the cookie dough raw. I'll eat the cookies after they come out of the oven. I'm terrible.
Dutch apple pie is actually not hard to make. I've made it before. It's really good.
Well, then you make us one.
I might have to. Now, yeah. I find that as a challenge.
There you go. You make it, bring it in, and we'll take some pictures, and we'll eat it on air. So, all right. I don't know how we got on apple pie, but I'm not sure.
Talking about Julian.
Julian, there we go. All right. Let's see. Yesterday, I was not on KESQ-TV. I'll be back next week. Sunday on the show, next Sunday, Diane Williams will be joining us in the first hour. And then we have Mel Doman from Orbitz. Yes, Orbitz, the big Orbitz company. She is like the director of communications or something. She's going to be calling the show. They approached me. They have a big special on tax day. If you buy travel through Orbitz, you don't have to pay any taxes. So it's a big promotion they have going on. So she's going to be calling the show next week to talk to us about that. Also this week, I officially launched Artifacts and Arts Across America. There's a link on the homepage to donate. And I made this into a nonprofit. And I know a lot of you that have been following Traveling with Françoise for 17 years, a radio show. The television show is going on its third year. I need more. I want to produce more shows. It costs money. All these little towns across America, there's 16,000 of them that I would like to feature, have no marketing dollars. And everyone suggested, including Luis Fuerte, Hugh Hauser's cameraman, said, Francois, make it into a nonprofit. Arts and education, get some grant money, get some sponsors, have people donate. Any amount is fine. And so you can start getting more filming. You can film more locations, get them on television, get them out of this area as well. So it's a whole big project. But I'm really excited about it. I need your help out there. You need to help out. It is now a nonprofit. You can write any amount of your tax deduction off. So on the homepage of Traveling with Francois, there's a donate button. But I also have to get the website done, and the Facebook page done. It's a lot to be done. And, you know, I'm trying not to rush either and just... I had a logo that I liked, but then one of the board members pointed out a few things in the logo, and he was right. I was just so eager to get the logo done that I'm glad that, see, you ask other people. And he said, well, you know, there's just a few little things. So now I'm not rethinking the whole logo just a little bit more. So a lot of things going on with that. So anyway, that's up and running. And some other stuff here with the radio station. I want to give you a heads up that the station might be sold, Money Radio part of it. And I am looking to move somewhere else. That's been stressful as well because I don't want to just leave everyone hanging at the last minute and saying something to you. So Craig from CoachellaValley.com and I are talking about doing our own line broadcasting. Alex will be part of it as well with some different shows and different talent coming in. And then I also have the opportunity to go to another radio station here in the Coachella Valley should I choose to do that, which I might do that as we're doing some of the other stuff. So who knows? But always go to the website Traveling with Francois, and I will keep you updated there and on their Facebook page and anywhere else you might find us. So if all of a sudden you tune in and I'm not here, don't panic. I'm out there somewhere. You're just going to have to do a little research and find out where. So that was a lot said in first 12 minutes. Yeah, a lot. Oh, here's something I wanted to tell you about as far as travel goes. Whitewater Preserve faces months-long closure. And kind of what I don't understand, so there must have been some damage up there. Have you been up to Whitewater, to the preserve, Alex?
I have.
Oh, you have. All right. Where they have the visitor center and they have all the trails. And I was thinking, why would that be closed for so long? They say the road going up to the preserve is expected to open by September 1st. But I'm thinking since the visitor center and the lakes and stuff that were there, they're kind of right in the wash. So with all the water coming down and the parking lot and all that, I have a feeling that perhaps some of that was damaged.
Yeah, I think it's kind of easy to see that because those rains were really hard. And that road hugs up against, you know, the mountain and the wash.
Right, yeah. Mountain on one side, wash on the other. And even when you go in the middle of a summer, there's quite a bit of water going through that wash. So you can only imagine when we had the Valentine's Day flood here in the Coachella Valley that it probably got dirt and things into the building, maybe tore up some of the parking lot. So the road will be open, but the preserve itself will not be. So keep that in mind. So when you hear that the preserve might be open. And the wildflowers. I say this with all due respect to the flowers. But are people getting tired of all this wildflower stuff? I don't know.
I think the craze has died down a ton.
Yeah. Because they're all, I think because they're blooming at different times, a lot of these flowers. Of course, the poppies were big. 2 years ago, it was out Borrego Springs. They didn't even know what to, they had so many people out in Borrego Springs. I hear they've had a lot, but nothing like what they had before, where it was back-to-back traffic all the way through. But there's still a lot of places to see wildflowers. I frankly love flowers year-round. I think that's what my deal is. I love flowers year-round. So just a month worth of flowers pop up. I love my roses that are popping up right now. I'm waiting. Those are looking beautiful. And so they're gorgeous. I wish it would happen all year long, but you know, there are flowers out there all year long. So why do we just need to focus on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's always somewhere you could go to go see beautiful flowers, you know, nature and all that.
For those of you who do want to still go out and see the wild flowers, North Indian Canyon Drive in Palm Springs, Station Road, they have them. Tipton Road and Highway 111 in Palm Springs, Araby Trail in Palm Springs, North Indian Canyon Drive and Tramview Road in Palm Springs. Are all of these in Palm Springs? East Chachiva Drive and North Farrell Drive in Palm Springs. Sunny Dunes Road, San Luis Rey in Palm Springs. North Gene Autry Trail, Palm Springs. Here's one. Tipton Road and Date Palm Drive in Cathedral City. Worsley Road and Painted Hills Road in Desert Hot Springs. And Corkill Road and Main Street in Desert Hot Springs. So I think if you just drive around and look, you'll probably see some wildflowers.
Just got to look.
Yeah, and just don't go trampling through them. It'd be nice if you didn't do that. And here's something else I wanted to tell you about. The Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. Have you been there?
Yes.
Okay, which is usually mobbed with kids.
Mobbed.
But it's a wonderful aquarium. Their executive director, Jerry Schubel, joined the aquarium as a president and chief executive in 2002. He has always wanted to expand the aquarium, the whole museum. And he finally has put all the little pieces together after, you know, he's been there since 2002. His expansion has finally been approved. And it's not with bigger tanks or more sea creatures. But this $53 million project, spearheaded by Schubel, will open with a focus on the one animal putting all others on the planet at risk. Do you know what that is?
Huh. I feel like I know this, and I'm going to feel silly for not knowing.
Not really, because we wouldn't want to think that. This would be the last thing that we want to think of, but it's us.
Yeah.
Humans. This whole exhibit is going to, $53 million worth, is going to revolve around this, us, the animal, who is putting the planet at risk. So think about it. They don't say when this is going to open, but they are working on it now. So it is the first major expansion since it was founded in 1998, and this is going to be one of the biggest endeavors of this president's long career with the museum over there. So something to think about. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside, and we'll come back. We have some travel news and other information. We'll give those tram tickets away as well. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today. Now, if you would like to win passes for two for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, like Steve and Irene both have done already on the show today, you can give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. This is close to a $50 value, and it's passes for two for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, which is now open, by the way. Opened on April 1st, and let's see, it's about $50 value, and their expiration is not for 3 or 4 months on those, and I will mail these out to you. So 760-440-8255. I heard that commercial about A1 Custom Golf Cars and Desert Batteries. I'm getting this paranoid feeling. You know, in the desert, our batteries don't last but a couple of years. And my car now is going on a couple of years. But I'm getting a little bit nervous because I don't want to be somewhere and the battery go dead. I just, you know, you get that feeling and you know. So what I'm going to do is, I think it's Tuesday. I have it on my calendar. I'm going to go over to A1 Custom Golf Cars because they have Desert Battery is there as well. And I'm going to have them check my battery. They have those little meters that can check it and see what the amp power or whatever it's called. I don't know. You can do that. You know, you can go over there to Desert Battery at A1 Custom Golf Cars in Palm Desert and just say, hey, can you check my battery? And then if it's low, I'm going to have them change it because I just get really nervous about that. I don't know. I just don't want to be stuck somewhere. I'm driving and I'm going to an event at night. So anyway, that's my plan. So before you head on a road trip also, you're going somewhere in the summer and your battery's more than 2 years old, definitely get it checked. Go to Desert Battery or go to your dealership or wherever you want to go, but get it checked to make sure that it has plenty of amp powers to it and it's not on its way out the door. Okay. This segment of the show is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. And yes, I met some people at Indian Wells at the Arts Festival. That came, was it at the Arts Festival? Oh, no, it was the ACT tour meeting. That's where I met them. That came over and said, Francoise, you gave some tickets away. We went to the Cabot. We went during one of the cultural weekends with the Kachina dolls. We loved it so much. She said, I went with some friends. We all joined. I love hearing that. We all joined. So anyway, for more information about the Cabot's Pueblo Museum, you can go to the website cabotsmuseum.org. If you haven't been, you really, really need to go because it really is quite special. All right. It looks like we have a winner for the tram. Yes?
We do. Beverly from Palm Desert.
Okay. All right. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm really good. I read your online stuff every week, every day.
Oh, okay.
Whenever it's on. Yeah.
Every day, every week. I don't know. It's the word. It's all out there. So congratulations. When was the last time you were up on the tram? Has it been a while?
I have never been, so this is awesome.
You have never been? Okay.
That's correct.
All right. So here's the deal, though. Remember, it is 30 degrees cooler up at the top.
Yes.
All right, so if you know that, if it's 80 here, it's going to be, 30 degrees cooler up there. I mean, everyone does that. They think, oh, it's so hot, and they go up there and they think, I wish I had a sweater.
No kidding. No, I'm waiting for a 100-degree-plus day.
Perfect. And they have the restaurants up there, and they have the gift shop. They have the little museum and the theater. So, good. You're going to have such a good time. We have to make sure that you let me know, maybe send me some pictures or drop me an email after you've been, okay?
Okay, perfect.
All right, congratulations. And Alex, you have all of Beverly's info. He's given me a thumbs up, so I'll get that out to you in the mail tomorrow. How's that?
Okay, thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, okay, so there you go. Okay, we were talking about travel news, batteries, and all sorts of stuff. So here's something else. Southwest Airlines mistakenly tells travelers they've earned a coveted companion pass. Yes, a group of Southwest Airline customers woke up to great news on Friday. They had earned the airline's pass that is the biggest frequent flyer perk, allowing free flights for a year for a designated companion. The qualifications are daunting. You have to rack up 100 one-way flights in a year or 110,000 Southwest frequent flyer points to get this, but they didn't really get it. So Southwest apologized, said sorry, you're not getting it. Which, sometimes people, the companies are held to this, that they make a big mistake like this and then they can't take it back, but Southwest took it back and the travelers are going, oh, well, we didn't really earn it to begin with, but maybe somebody used it right away in order, I don't know, book some trips or whatnot. But so if it seems too good to be true sometimes, it's probably not true. And here's something else in the news. Please, what are you thinking? I had an article that I hadn't read. I got this a couple weeks ago about two people had died at the Grand Canyon. Well, just a couple days ago, a third person died at the Grand Canyon taking selfies. What?
Be aware of your surroundings.
I mean, really? Would you back up to the edge of a cliff for a picture? I don't know. One guy fell 1,000 feet, but three people, one of them, and I'm not sure how they, there was where that skywalk is. I don't know if they tried to climb up on the edge, but it has this sort of, the top is, it's points inside, so it'd be hard for you to do that, but somebody fell off that. So I don't know. It's crazy. I know selfies are really important. In fact, sadly, travel destinations now are promoting more of their selfie spots than they are the real destination. I mean, the entire destination.
Yeah. And I think what it is that, people love taking photos of themselves, obviously.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about the selfie spots, even though it may be unfortunate for some instances, is that it allows you to go to different destinations within the park. So there is, a little bit of strategy there.
Right.
However, if they're not putting them in safe places, that is an issue. And the people should pay attention to where those selfie spots are, because usually they'll have like a little like monument or something telling them, this is where you have to stand.
But these people are going to places that are not selfie spots.
Yeah.
They're making their own, and they're dying in the process to get that perfect picture. So, and it's not just there. It's happening all over the world now at travel destinations.
Mm-hmm.
Great Wall of China. Well, let me stand on the top of it and hope the wind doesn't blow me off. So you have to be careful. And frankly, too much travel photos annoy people. There was a survey out the other day that where they were doing some social media surveys. Too many pictures of you traveling. Now, what I do is different because people expect it from me. But if you have a 9-to-5 job and you're working really hard, and I know you want to travel and you want to share it, great. But too many of you sitting there drinking margaritas or whatever and bragging about your trip annoys people. They say the biggest way to get more Instagram followers is to dress scantily, be scantily clad. Well, I'm not doing that, so forget it. But anyway, so just, all right, just use some common sense out there. All right, here's some other travel news. Disney bans mega strollers and smoking in parks. I thought people couldn't smoke in Disney. This surprised me. Anyway, May 1st, strollers larger than 31 inches wide and 52 inches long will not be permitted, nor will stroller wagons. Whew, those are some big strollers. And smoking in the parks. I thought that was a given that you couldn't smoke. Elon Musk, can he ease Las Vegas transportation woes? Yes, the underground system could potentially accommodate up to 11,000 passengers per hour. Per hour at high-speed autonomous shuttles zipping around a closed loop. I could see that. You know, there's that closed loop over at Denver International. And at first, it was so daunting. I was lost. I rode that train all over the place because I couldn't quite figure it out. Now I have a handle on it. I think I was making too much out of it for what it was, to be on one floor for this and another level for it. But I could see where this underground in Vegas would be huge. Huge.
And I'm pretty sure Vegas would be on top of that.
Yeah.
Because they want the commerce. They want people to be able to get there and move around quickly.
Quickly, yeah. Get from one casino to another. All right. Okay, well, we are going to have to step aside. When we come back, Jeff Kreider, World Travel, is going to join us. He's going to talk about IMA Helps, what's going on with that, some of the places he has been, and a lot more. We have some more travel news, so stick around for more Traveling with Françoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today. We congratulate all our winners. And as I said earlier on the show, Jeff has been on, several times in the last 17 years I've been on the air. He comes on periodically, tells us about all these amazing things that he is doing and ways that he is volunteering and helping. And I always like to have Jeff on to kind of ground us a little bit in life, but also to share some of your experience. So welcome, Jeff Kreider, to the
show. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know last time you were here, you were writing a book and you were going to Ireland and you were doing stuff. So before we talk about something coming up in July that you're going to be doing, let's talk about where have you been in the past year since you've been on?
Just the past year, I was in Paraguay for a medical mission with IMA Helps. Mm-hmm. I was also in Mendoza, Argentina, with some volunteers and with my son. And Mendoza is the great Malbec region of Argentina. And so we toured some wineries and we went to some fantastic restaurants down there. I even got a tango lesson down there, which was a lot of fun. And then after that, we went over to Rio de Janeiro. And I love Rio, even though it is a very dangerous place in certain areas.
Yeah.
But it is nevertheless a neat place to visit. We stayed in a really nice hotel on Copacabana Beach, had incredible ceviche. The beer down there is wonderful. We took a samba lesson. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been studying Portuguese with a Brazilian tutor here in the desert for the last 6 years.
Oh.
So I work at that at least a couple of times a month. And so while my Portuguese is nowhere near my Spanish, it's decent enough that I can get around and I have fun with it when I'm down there.
So can you say welcome to the show in Portuguese?
Bem-vindo ao show de Françoise.
Okay, well, there you go. Thank you. All right. So, and you know what? You're very adventurous. When you go with IMA Helps, you are going to some poor areas of countries.
Yes.
Yes,
we have gone to places I never thought I would ever visit in my lifetime. This is my 12th year volunteering with IMA Helps. I go along as a Spanish language interpreter and then also as a photographer, and then I help with their media outreach and whatnot since I'm a former reporter. But we started in Ecuador. Latacunga, Ecuador was the first place I went. And then we even visited the equator. And one of the fascinating things, they have a couple of different equator landmarks that you can visit down there, and they're 40 miles apart. Mm-hmm. One of them was what they thought was the equator something like 300 or 400 years ago when the explorers were using their old-fashioned navigation to get across the oceans. Well, even with our modern GPS and the satellites and everything else, the equator, according to all of our latest technology, is only 40 miles off where they thought it was 300 or 400 years ago, which I think is really amazing.
It is amazing because navigating by the stars and the sun and the moon and all
this
stuff is really something. Wow.
Yes. So with that mission, that was in the Andes Mountains, about 9,000 feet. And then the next year we went to Ibarra, Ecuador, which is near the Colombian border. Mm-hmm. And again, that was up very high in the mountains. And so it's been very neat to see these nooks and crannies of countries that I never thought I would ever see in my lifetime. We did a couple of missions in El Salvador. We were in Zacatecoluca, which is outside of San Salvador. We did several missions in Nicaragua. And this was back before they had their current unrest that's taking place there. And so it was relatively safe when we were there. Unfortunately, it's not safe there right now. It's not a safe place to visit right now, unfortunately. Nicaragua is one of my favorite countries of all the countries I visited in the world. And I visited about 45 altogether. And I love going to Nicaragua because it's like going back in time. It's you can walk down some of the streets in the old towns and you can hear real church bells ringing. I mean, it's just really neat. But unfortunately, they're going through some difficult times there.
Yeah, and Jeff, and I was thinking about that because when you go on these missions with IMA Helps, and I said earlier that you're going into places, you're not going to the tourist destination.
No.
You're going to these out-of-the-way little villages is basically a lot. And I've said this before, and when I talk to people, because I hear the comment a lot, well, today's world is not a good world, or... you know, the kids growing up, and with the kids growing up, this is their world. So they're not going to know any different because this is what they're growing up in with the mass shootings and all this stuff all over the place. When you go into these little out-of-the-way villages, do the people think of themselves as poor, and do they think of themselves as...
I think they're aware that they're poor because they're needing help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes they don't eat well or they don't eat the right foods. But what I find in all of the places we go is that really people are the same everywhere. They're just trying to get through each day with as few problems as possible.
Uh-huh.
Everybody loves a hug. Yeah. Everybody loves a kiss on the cheek. Everybody loves a smile. And one of the most gratifying things I've ever experienced in these travels is when we go to a hospital somewhere and people are lined up waiting to see us and they applaud when we get there. It's very moving. And I think the other thing that is very refreshing in doing this kind of volunteer work, and I think it would apply to anyone who does any kind of volunteer work outside the U.S., it is so refreshing to see people doing good things. And for a period of time, you block out all the negativity that we hear in the news and whatnot, you know, these days. And you can just focus on doing something positive. And so when I go on these missions, I'm addicted to it because it's like doing 1,000 good deeds. And I'm with the miracle workers. I'm just the flunky, you know, the broom pusher or whatever who's going along. It's the doctors and nurses and whatnot that are the real, you know, miracle workers and all of this. But I've seen so many wonderful things. I mean, I've literally seen kids who have never owned a pair of shoes in their lifetimes until they're like 6 years old or so get their first pair of shoes from our volunteers. And that is so humbling to see that. And I've seen our surgeons, you know, really perform miracles for people by fixing the deformities on their faces. And then the issue with that, it's not just cosmetic. They can't get hired. So they not only have to suffer the ridicule from kids growing up and even from adults and general ostracism, but they can't get hired. And so when our surgeons are able to fix a cleft lip or some other type of deformity, then these people not only have their dignity, but they can get hired. And so there's an economic benefit from that. And then the other thing that happens is it recharges our volunteers. Because our volunteers get bogged down with, you know, medical malpractice insurance, you know, paperwork, bureaucracy, pressures
here
in the U.S. When we're working outside the U.S., they can just focus on the patient and, and you know, taking care of people. So it's very therapeutic and refreshing for them. And then we become like a family. We become very close, even though we only see each other once a year in different countries when we're working. It is just so beneficial to do this kind of thing. And you know, I just can't imagine doing anything other than this, you know, with any time I can make available.
Are you over do you, I don't know, you probably never get over when you go in. Do you go back to the same place over and over, or you always, or is IMA always looking for a new destination?
You know, we used to go to different places every single year. We changed that a few years ago because logistically it was too hard to start from scratch in a different city. So what we do now, we've been doing this for a few years, is we will go to a city and we'll go there for 3 years, usually. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to to another city in another country. So this is our third year in Paraguay. And so we will have seen more than 15,000 patients mm-hmm. during the 3 years. So our plan right now, we're already making preliminary steps to do a mission next year in Jamaica.
Oh, really?
We've already had a meeting with a liaison with the Jamaican Ministry of Health. Mm-hmm. Now, we liaison with the ministries of health in these different countries, and then they tell us where the greatest unmet healthcare needs are. So we're not just going and saying we want to go to a certain city and do a mission. We ask the Ministry of Health, and they tell us where their greatest needs are. Then our surgeons look at the hospitals mm-hmm. and decide which facility do they feel most comfortable working in based on the areas that we're given. That's kind of how we do it.
Yeah, Jamaica to me is very interesting. So we spent a month there and saw all the different types of, you know, ways of life there. And of course, tourism is so huge there. Mm-hmm. And the island not being, you know, as large as these big countries that you've been going to, it's interesting that they would need something
yes.
such as IMA in an area such as Jamaica.
Yeah, and that is the reality in many countries around the world. You know, Americans travel and then they see these posh hotels and, you know, paradise-like places. But behind the facade of all of that are a lot of people with unmet healthcare needs mm-hmm. and other types of issues. And so we're targeting the healthcare, of course. And we have a couple of volunteers on our team who are from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing from them how dire the situation is at some of the Jamaican hospitals. So we plan to do an exploratory trip in November of this year to check out mm-hmm. the situation and see what it's like, and then we'll see if we can organize a mission there.
Just fascinating. Fascinating what you
year.
Do, and plus you're seeing the world by doing all this, and I'm sure you have seen unspeakable things
yes.
in some areas that you just never really imagined existed, and then on the flip side, so rewarding for the people that you've become friends with, or IMA Helps becomes. And quickly tell everyone, I mean, you've been talking about IMA Helps. How long have they been around?
IMA Helps was founded in 2000. So this is the 19th year.
That's
and
right.
during this time, we have treated more than 100,000 people.
And that's in different. How many countries have you been to?
Eight.
Eight countries. And
yes.
you have a mission coming up in July.
In Luque, Paraguay, which mm-hmm. is outside of Asunción, the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And Paraguay is one of the poorest countries in South America. Most people have never been to Paraguay.
Right.
And I mean, it's one of these places like
right.
Ecuador that nobody even can find it on the map.
But I hear that it's beautiful.
There are areas of it.
Are
yes.
just spectacular.
Especially on the border of Paraguay with Argentina and Brazil, there's Iguazu Falls, mm-hmm. which is one of the most spectacular areas of waterfall activity in the world. It is just absolutely beautiful there. Mm. And so that is very, you know, worth seeing if you can get down
yeah.
to that area. But a lot of these places we go to are in far-flung places, but there's still interesting historical things to see, cultural things to see. Sometimes there's very beautiful mountains, mm-hmm. you know. Nicaragua has tremendous potential in terms of national parks, but they're not developed into national parks. And, you know, I think Nicaragua could be another mm-hmm. Costa Rica, but they haven't developed the infrastructure to have national parks. You know, mm. I think that would
yeah.
turn things around for them.
Because I do get information. When you go to these big travel expos that they have, there
yes.
are people there from Nicaragua trying
yes.
to promote tourism and whatnot. In fact, it's interesting, all of the places there that they're trying to promote. But a lot of times they just show you a beach and, you know, a resort on the beach, and they don't really say a whole lot more. And, excuse me, there's so much more going on in these countries as far. And you're mostly inland. You're not – most of where you go for IMA is inland, not along the coastal
yeah,
region.
Yeah, the only place that we've been to that has been near the coast was Huacho, Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there in 2013. And that's about maybe two and a half hours north of Lima. That is very close to the ocean. I mean, it's maybe just a couple miles mm-hmm. from the water. But we have not been to any, like, resort-like areas before. We've
right.
always been in these places that I never heard of.
Right.
And I consider myself pretty well informed about all, you know, international things, and we go to places I've never heard of.
How many people travel with a mission normally?
Well, when I started, we had about, I think we had 56 on the mission to Latacunga, Ecuador. Mm-hmm. Right now, the last few years, we've been averaging about 95 to 100. This year, we're going to have 126, which is the largest ever. So one of the challenges that we have when we go to these remote areas is finding a hotel that's big enough to accommodate all of us.
That's what I was just going to ask. Where do you all stay?
Yeah. So we stay in a hotel. We like to have everybody in the same hotel, and then we have breakfast and dinner together at the mm-hmm. same hotel. And so we go, I'm part of the advanced team, so I go and we taste the food, you know, we stay there, you know, we see what it's going to be like, make sure that nobody's going to get sick mm-hmm. because we can't afford to have people traveling and then getting sick. We need them to be able to work. And since everybody pays for their own travel and whatnot, we try to negotiate discounts. Mm-hmm. And they usually give us a really good discount.
I would think they would
wherever we go.
Be thrilled that you're coming into the area.
Yes.
And to fill up a hotel, first of all,
yes.
guaranteed revenue. How long are you there normally? A week or?
We're usually there for, a little over a week.
A week, yeah.
The mission itself is 7 days, but there's a couple of extra days for travel.
Uh-huh.
And then at the very end of the mission, we usually will take a day and do a little sightseeing somewhere.
Good. Yeah.
And that's always fun. And then usually either before or after the mission, some of the volunteers will take off and do their own trips,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I did a trip before the mission to Mendoza, Argentina, with a couple of other volunteers. And then after the mission, I went to Rio. And this year I'm going to go to Rio, taking my son with me again.
Mm-hmm.
This will be my son's fifth time going mm-hmm. with me. And we just enjoy going over there.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to the mission and then head home after that.
Wow, such great stuff. Well, right, how can people help IMA Helps? What can they do? Donate funds?
Yes.
How about professionals that might want to be part of this?
You know,
volunteers.
We are always looking for certain types of volunteers. We have all kinds that go with us, but we're in particular need of anesthesiologists. We're mm-hmm. always short anesthesiologists and pharmacists. And fortunately, we just had a pharmacist from Desert Regional sign up to join us. But we're always needing people with those specialties, surgeons, different types of surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
We can always use, and really anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody who has a medical specialty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would love to hear from them. They can sign up on our website, imahelps.org.
How about translators?
I know we do. Yes.
But
yes. We do have a few people who come with us as interpreters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also use people in country, usually Peace Corps volunteers or sometimes medical students we'll use as interpreters as well. In Paraguay, we need some local interpreters because their indigenous language is Guarani. And nobody speaks Guarani here. So we need their help with that.
All right. Okay. Well, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to have one more commercial break, and then I'll have to close the show. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Remember,
appreciate
folks,
it.
IMAHelps.org. I will put it on the website. It probably is already on the homepage now, but I will get that up there. If you know somebody that can help, you can help. More information about them. You guys do such great work, and we want to hear from you when you come back. How's that?
Thank you. That sounds terrific.
All right. Okay, folks, we'll take a quick break, then we'll be back and pretty much wrap it up. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Françoise as we wrap up this travel hour of the show. What an incredible journey that Jeff has made his life into. Alex, when you hear that, I mean, sometimes there's even no words of what to say.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, very inspirational. I mean, he's worked hard in his life, and he's so dedicated to all that he does with IMA Helps and all of his projects. So, you know, good for him. I am always inspired by people like Jeff, frankly.
Yeah, same here. I think he's somebody that obviously cares about what he does
mm-hmm.
and goes to areas that, you know, people always want to go to the resort areas and whatnot. But a lot of these countries, as glamorous as they may look, aren't all that glamorous at all.
No, they're not. There's just those one little areas where all the dollars are poured into, and then on the outlying areas, it's not a whole lot. So, and the flip side, too, it has to make you appreciate what we have right here at home. in our U.S. And everywhere here we go, we'll go to towns, you go to places across the United States, and there's always going to be little areas, pockets, that life isn't quite as, grand as maybe other areas.
And I think we're very fortunate to be, in California where, we have a lot of big cities. But, you travel around a little bit, like yourself, and you'll see, a little bit of a different side of the United States.
A different side, and you think, wow, I didn't even know that was here. So, all right, so imahelps.org. This segment of the show is brought to you in part by Animal Samaritans. We talked about them earlier. They are looking for foster baby. They're looking for parents to bottle feed baby kittens. Parents, not parents. People. Yeah, you could be a parent too, I guess. That'd make a difference. But anyway, animalsamaritans.org. Check it out, because I guess it's kitten season right now. Or give them a call at 760-343-3477. All right, next week on the show, Diane Williams will be joining us to talk about real estate in the Coachella Valley, which she said there's so much to talk about, which intrigues me, because it seems like where I live, homes aren't on the market that long. And she has been doing her studies for several years now, and all the other agencies look to see what she has to say. So that'll be in the first hour of the show. In the second hour of the show, we have Mel Doman on from Orbitz. Yes, the big company Orbitz. They have a special going on Tax Day, and she's going to tell us about it, which the show will be on the 14th. Tax Day is on April 15th. And how you can book travel and not have to pay the taxes that go along with it through Orbitz, which is a good deal.
It's a big discount.
Yeah, definitely. So it's Orbitz Tax Day. They have making a whole special promotion about it. So good for them. So that's what we have going on next Sunday on the show. Right here, we'll still be on Money Radio, but I want you to keep checking our Facebook page. I'm working on Artifacts and Arts Across America. Lots of things going on with this show and me expanding, and I don't know, Alex too. I mean, he has tons of things going. You have a lot of stuff going on over there too. Yeah. So, lots of changes going on, folks. That's just the way it happens. But I appreciate all of you. We want to congratulate our winners today, which is Steve, Irene, and Beverly. They all won passes to the tram. I kind of just wanted to get everybody back up there to the tram. In fact, the first day, I guess, that the tram opened back up, they had a long line of people waiting to go to the top.
And I don't blame them, and I'm sure the tram was very happy.
Yes, I'm sure they were. So, all because of the Valentine's Day, which I didn't even associate the two. I'm not even sure why, the floods that we had here in the Coachella Valley. So, flowers are still blooming out there. There's still plenty of places right here locally that you can go travel to and enjoy. So, never discount any of those. I just want you to get out and enjoy yourself. And Gina Edwards and Doug the other day, they went to the Coachella Valley Coachella Preserve, and Gina and I are going to go out there and hike in the next week or so and check it out so I can take some pictures of that preserve. I don't think I've been to that one. I know I've been to the Oasis. So anyway, lots of stuff. Everyone have a good one. We will see you back here next Sunday. So until then, remember that it's never too late to get a life. Have a good day, and we will see you next time. Bye.